And thank you, Sue and Trey, for making it possible as well. Well, we are almost at the end of our series on the great ends of the church, the six statements that are like the job description of the church, why we exist. The six statements are either in the insert or in the back of your bulletin. I can't remember. They're somewhere. Go find them. If God is handing out a report card for our church, these are the six ways that we think we'll be graded. Last week, Pastor Carol talked about the promotion of social righteousness. And she shared that righteousness is, you know, what God thinks is right. So promoting social righteousness is trying to shape our society to look the way God would have it look. And that requires us to ask deeper questions in addition to serving the person in front of us. This week, we are looking at the exhibition of the kingdom of heaven to the world. No pressure on that one. So to get at the root of this phrase, what is an exhibit? Well, if you've ever been to a museum, you've seen some exhibits. Many of you just went to the museum to see the Dead Sea Scrolls exhibit. I heard some good reports about that. And what happened? You hear about it, then you want to know more. So you go and see it for yourself while you're there. You learn from an expert. You get to see the Dead Sea Scrolls. You hear the story of how they were found, learn what makes them important. That's what it looks like to have the exhibition of the Dead Sea Scrolls to the world. So when we are responsible for the exhibition of the kingdom of heaven to the world, we want people to hear about God, to be interested in learning more, to experience something meaningful when they encounter the followers of Jesus, to want to participate and hopefully even share about our exhibit to their friends and family and neighbors. But I also think, so that's the exhibition, that's what it means to be an exhibit, but what about the kingdom of heaven? I think it's important that we are exhibiting the kingdom of heaven, not the kingdom of humans, not the kingdom of Cody, which based on how infrequently my children listen to my pronouncements, the kingdom of Cody doesn't even encompass my house. It's a very tiny kingdom. So the desired outcome is not that people would like your pastor. The desired outcome is not that people would like this church. The desired outcome is not even that people would like the church in general. The desired outcome is that people would connect with and value Jesus and his kingdom, not our own. Are you with me? Our text today is from Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth. In this part, he actually feels the need to defend himself. I mean, we look back on Paul and we might see, all the ways that Jesus worked through him and how Paul was able to plant all these churches around the Mediterranean and how many of his letters were deemed valuable enough to be put into the New Testament. We see all the amazing things that Paul did as we look back on his life after he became a follower of Jesus. But at the time, that legacy was far from secure. I mean, some people thought Paul was intense. He was. But other people thought he was insane. And I don't mean that euphemistically. I mean that literally. People in this text today are saying that he is not in his right mind. So many people have said that his brain might be damaged because of how he is following this Jesus guy, that he feels the need to address it in this text today. And in a minute, I'll get to why I think that makes this a perfect scripture for us to consider today. Listen to how Paul defends his way of life as a fully committed follower of Jesus, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we try to persuade others. But we ourselves are well known to God, and I hope that we are also well known to your consciences. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you an opportunity to boast about us so that you may be able to answer those who boast in outward appearance and not in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, that means insane, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all, and therefore all have died. And he died for all so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we no longer know him in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. And all of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord, so thanks be to God. Well, I want you to picture something in your mind. Like, get your imagination muscles ready. Try to imagine as vividly as you can your perfectly relaxing morning. What is your perfectly relaxing morning? What can you see around you on your perfectly relaxing morning? What can you smell? What can you hear? What can you taste? What can you feel? Do you have your perfectly relaxing morning? Half of you are asleep already. That's okay. Now, everyone is going to have a little different image in their minds. For instance, when we were in Hawaii for our 10th anniversary, my wife wanted to go sit by the beach and just sit in the sun and listen to the waves. Maybe that was part of your perfectly relaxing morning. And while she was doing that, I was doing something a little bit different, only slightly. I was on the balcony of our hotel room, looking out over the waves. It's a good view. On my laptop, and I wrote an entire children's book about rocket ships, start to finish. Anyone have that on there? I'm a little weird, but you already knew that. Well, everyone's going to have a little different version of perfectly relaxing morning, but I want to give you a scenario that I think everyone here will agree is very relaxing. Maybe it's not your perfectly relaxing morning, but I bet everyone here will think this is relaxing. Are you ready for this scenario? Try to picture this. You're in a room. You're sitting in a room with dozens of other people. You're sitting on a hard wooden bench. You're dressed in nice clothes that are maybe a little uncomfortable. And you're listening to someone explain a book that's 2,000 years old. Did anyone have that on their perfectly relaxing morning? And yet, here you are, doing that. So, thank you for being here. But you know, I think our church should actually be quaking in our boots a little bit, because our greatest competition as a church just opened up across the street. You may have driven by it. A new house of worship just opened up. The followers of this religion are so committed, they will show up any hour of the day, sometimes as early as 5:30. You thought the 8:30 was early? They'll show up at 5:30. They look to the green goddess of energy, and she usually delivers. She can even help people develop deeper relationships by giving them a space to gather. Most of you have figured it out. The house of worship for the green goddess is otherwise known as Starbucks. Yeah. And in case you're wondering, yes, I wrote that, sipping a chai latte at Starbucks. So the irony is not lost on me. So you may not be able to have, every single Sunday morning, maybe you're not able to have that perfectly relaxing morning. You can't fly to Hawaii every single week, right? Or if you can, I think you need a chaplain to come with you. But you could choose to go sit at Starbucks any morning you want. They'll take you every day. And so I think our primary competition as a church is not other churches. It's not even other religions. Really, I think it's lattes. It's relaxation. It's golf. It's pedicures. Or maybe our biggest one is sleeping in. That's our true competition. Now, in business, they sometimes talk about an elevator speech. Ever heard of an elevator speech? It's being able to explain someone what your company does and why it's special in one elevator ride. It's like 30 seconds, maybe 60 seconds tops, or if you're riding our elevator, 5 minutes. So what's your elevator speech, or maybe you're waiting in line at Starbucks speech. If someone asks you, why do you spend your Sunday morning at church instead of just sipping a latte or doing whatever else you want? What's your answer to that? You know, what's your elevator speech? In 30 seconds, 60 seconds tops, how do you explain that to someone? For me, it's pretty simple. You know, that I have found my life is better when I have the community of the followers of Jesus. I tried doing life on my own, and instead of feeling fulfilled, I felt bored and drained. I have experienced times where I can barely stand on my own, and the church has given me support. Times when I can't see a way forward and following Jesus gives me hope. When I'm confused, I've received guidance from the Holy Spirit that gives me purpose and energy that no amount of pumpkin spice lattes could ever offer. Coffee can help me stay awake, but Jesus gives me a reason to get out of bed in the morning. There's no complex theology in that, right? Like, there's nothing all that complicated in that. That's my waiting in line at Starbucks speech, and I have been asked before. So what's your elevator speech? You know, what's your answer? Why do you come here instead of seeking your perfectly relaxing Sunday morning? If someone says, you're crazy for coming to church on Sunday, what is your response? Well, they told Paul that he was crazy. They told Paul he was crazy for the way he was following Jesus. Here's what he said. He basically said in our text today, yeah, you're right. I am crazy. Because everything I'm doing now, my old self would have called crazy. But everything about my life and everything about how I see things in the world changed when I started following Jesus. And so, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. In other words, Paul's acknowledging that he's acting strangely in the eyes of the world, but his elevator speech is basically, you know, Jesus changed my life, and I like what he changed. Everything that he used to value, his status in the Jewish community, his Roman citizenship, his path to power as part of the Jewish elite, all of those things he threw away. People thought he was crazy for throwing that away, but he did so because it didn't matter to him anymore. New things mattered to him. We kind of talked about this a little bit in our last church leadership meeting. I asked them, think not generically, but about, you know, like your kids, your grandkids, your neighbors, people you actually know. Why do they either like come to church or invest in their faith or not? And, you know, think about their literal reasons. And some of the reasons why people did invest in their faith or did come to church, I thought they were pretty telling. They weren't overly complicated. A lot of people said something about relationships. I can't find the kind of relationships that fill me anywhere else. Other people talked about how their life the rest of the week was just beating them down or draining. And so they came to church to find energy and inspiration to keep going. I can't find the sense of purpose and hope and vitality about my upcoming week anywhere else. Others came to church because they found guidance or wisdom to tackle a problem in their lives. I can't find the kind of insight I need for my life anywhere else. Sisters and brothers, the exhibition of the kingdom of heaven to the world is when you can tell someone in one elevator ride or one line of Starbucks why you think it's worth it to spend your Sundays listening to someone like this geeky Texan explain a 2,000-year-old book to you. Why is that worth it? Why do you choose Jesus over a latte? Or if you're like me, you can choose Jesus and a latte. And hopefully, you choose Jesus not just on Sunday, but in your daily life, because people are watching. We're an exhibit. We're an exhibition every single day. Paul says God is making his appeal through us. And that's not just a Sunday thing. It's every single day. We are on display. We are an exhibit. The question is, do we look like the kingdom of heaven? Amen.